Turn your attention to the subject this afternoon of heaven, of living in light of heaven. In Randy Elkhorn's book, it's been divided into three sections, and we've gone through the first two. The third and the last section is titled Living in Light of Heaven. So we've, over several months now, been studying the subject of heaven, what it's like, and imagining the kind of the contours of the promises that have been given to us. This last section is shorter, but very appropriate, and we've been doing this already as we have considered what heaven is like. It definitely has, I think, been shaping us in our anticipation and in our hope for heaven. We heard that expressed already this afternoon about coming to understand that there's a depth of inheritance and riches that we have in store. And we have talked about that just as and the hope that that brings. I want to move to a couple of other aspects of living in light of heaven, especially as Alcorn concentrates on several different passages of Scripture that I'm going to turn your attention to. He's titled this chapter "Reorienting Ourselves to Heaven as Our Home." And that idea of orientation towards something means that you're like a compass that orients itself towards the north. It always is locked in towards that magnetic north. And you can flip the compass around and turn it upside down and spin it around, but when you lift it up on your palm, it's going to point. It may flutter a little bit as it gets adjusted, but when it finds it, it's going to orient itself towards north. Another way to illustrate that might be riding your bicycle here in Oklahoma and orienting yourself towards the wind. Is it easier to ride with the wind or against the wind or having a crosswind?
Always riding against the wind in Oklahoma.
No, it always changes during the day so that you rode against it on the way to work and against it on the way home. If you're going with the wind, it goes a lot better. So it's the idea of orientation that we are oriented towards home. Listen to Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Notice that you are currently united to Christ. Right now you have been raised with Him spiritually. You are not yet physically raised. That is something to anticipate and look forward to. But speaking of the spiritual new birth, you are right now alive in Christ and united to Him. We saw in Ephesians chapter 1 that you are blessed now in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. At the same time, there is something more for you. You are not in heaven yet. You are not perfect in your righteousness as you will be in heaven. It's something that you can anticipate and something that means that you can actually give attention to and live your life cultivating a love for heaven. Colossians 3 puts it in the strongest of terms. It uses an imperative. It uses a command. Do this. Seek the things that are above. Set your mind on things that are above. What that means is that it means to orient yourself towards heaven, or to teach your life and the things that you like and the tastes that you have to be in tune with the things in heaven. Paul calls us to set our minds and our desires on the things that are above, or to orient ourselves to heaven. That means that there's a need to be acquainted with the things above. That means, first of all, to have a relationship with Christ, by trusting in Him. And then, as you come to know God better, to be learning to love the things of the Lord. As you acquaint yourself with heaven and the work of Christ for you, you'll find that some of the concepts about heaven have crept into your thinking from worldly sources. In our study about heaven that Alcorn has led us in, Alcorn has highlighted how many people have come to think of heaven as only being a spiritual place with no physical bodies. And the study has really helped to challenge that, I think. Sometimes his interpretations may lean on the side of the physical, but it's been very helpful for us to study through this and to be challenged with the concept of heaven as that some people have of it being boring or uneventful or insubstantial. So set your mind on things above. There's the purpose of acquainting, but even more than that, there is this purpose of being shaped and of pursuing a discipleship that is very important in setting your mind on things above. The passage goes on to say, not only set your mind on things above, but put to death the things in this life that are sinful or are worldly. It has to do with that process of becoming more and more like Christ. The Children's Catechism has an interesting question and answer to it, where I'm going to get the question wrong. The question is something about being fit for heaven. The answer is, no, I am not right now fit for heaven. My heart must be changed before I am fit for heaven. That has to do with that justifying faith or that relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. There's also that idea of fitness that comes from a practical holiness or being more and more like Christ in sanctification. And that's what Paul is getting at in Colossians chapter 3, that as you live in light of heaven, it gives strength to you as you put off what is old or put to death what is sinful and instead set your mind on things above. Set your mind on Christ where He is seated. Another passage that I would remind you of is that one that I read this morning from Philippians chapter 3 of counting all things lost that I might gain Christ and be found in Him. That I count all things as rubbish that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and so on. There's another passage, though, that I'll just briefly mention this afternoon, and that is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. Stephanie used the word home earlier to describe heaven, and that comes from Hebrews 11. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar." And this is speaking of the Old Testament saints who were looking forward to Jesus Christ. So they didn't receive the promises but looked forward to them. And many of them were martyrs for their faith. And it goes on and says, "They acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles in the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland." They're seeking a homeland. And a little bit later it says, "As it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city." heaven can be spoken of as your home. Well, we need to balance that very, very carefully, because this life is good. We need to be like Paul to say, yes, to live is Christ. God has a purpose for me here. But the point is, to die is gain, isn't it? We do have a heavenly home in which we will live eternally with Christ. I don't know about any of the other children, but I remember going on long trips and enjoying being away. But do you know that time on the trip where you think, boy, I wish I was home now. This has been really fun, but there's no place like home. Somebody was clicking their heels right there. Or you may say, just as you get back, I'm so glad to be home. That's a good way to be thinking about heaven. To be thinking about heaven as your home. The place where God has designed you to be. In the new heavens and the new earth with God. And all that we've talked about the nature of heaven. And the point that Hebrews is making is that while this life is good and it's important for us to be following Christ here, there is something better waiting for us, and waiting for us in heaven. And what Hebrews says goes back to what Paul said in Colossians, that we live as strangers and exiles on the earth. Or as some translations put it, as pilgrims and as aliens on this earth. Now, a lot of people think that Christians are strange. They are, yes, in the best possible sense of that term, right? We are not like the world, because heaven is our home. And I said earlier, live like you're rich. I'll say here this afternoon, live like you're strange. Live like you're a pilgrim. Live like you are a stranger and an exile on earth. Well, it takes us back to Colossians chapter 3. What does this mean? Well, we put to death earthly desires. We live like a citizen of heaven. We nurture spiritual desires. And when you find out what is really good, then you enjoy indulging that more and more. So as you get a taste of heaven, even now, my hope is that you will long for it more and more. I recently saw a scene in the movie that I thought illustrated this pretty well, about discovering something that tastes really good and wanting more of it. It's of a family that has been raising their children sugar-free, and a little girl that gets a handful of ice cream, a bowl full of ice cream, and starts to devour it. And with a mouthful of ice cream, she says, "Mom, you lied to us. Frozen yogurt doesn't taste as good as ice cream." I think oftentimes we've believed the lie that this world is good enough and the things of this world are a good substitute for God. And what I hope is that through this study and the foretaste of heaven, that you'll recognize that lie and reject it for what it is. And you can tell your friends, "You've lied to me. It's not as good as heaven." I'll close today by saying, learn to love what's real, what's true, what's lovely, what is eternal. Develop a taste for those treasures that last forever. And that comes from Matthew 6, the Sermon on the Mount. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So learn to love those eternal treasures. Find them out, search them out, and then devote yourself to them. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, forgive us for the many times that we have satisfied ourselves with the frozen yogurts of this world. Instead, O Lord, you have given us the richest fare. You have given us the treasures of heaven themselves. I pray, Lord, that we would be storing up treasures there, that we would learn what it means to live as strangers in this world and to set our minds on the things above. God, these are challenging concepts to us, but they're also ones that we are excited to pursue. For Lord, you have given us a taste of what is good, and with great anticipation of what's in store for us in this life and in that life which is to come, we do set our minds and our hearts on those things above. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.